Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And we thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, and this is a live radio program. And Ed Vitagliano is helping me co-host today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. I'd like to wish my lovely wife a happy birthday.
Diane?
It is her ex-birthday today.
You know, it's interesting because my wife, Allison, yesterday was her birthday.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so happy birthday to her and her, I'm not going to say.
X number of years, whatever it may be.
Five decades plus, but I'm not going to.
The fact that you gave the decades doesn't really get you off the hook,
yeah,
I don't think.
I don't think so, but anyway. Walker, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Walker's just getting started in life with his three young children.
Yeah, with twins, it probably doesn't.
7-month-old twins.
Probably doesn't seem like you're just getting
started. You know, my biceps are surely but slowly building because I carry a car seat in each arm everywhere we go.
Yeah, that's a good workout.
That is serious. Yeah. With the babies in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
and
impressive.
When I don't, because I don't have any extra hands left, I put their bags on them in the car seat. Just
on top of the babies?
Yeah, it's just a little backpack. I just set it in their lap. And because you got to, I don't have any hands.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've never seen a place their bags on top of the physical babies.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Okay, do they get complaining in any way? Or?
They're pretty good with it. As long as it's not on their face,
yeah.
They're good with it.
All right. So
but
we mentioned Walker has twins, 7-month-olds, and Luke's.
Luke's 2.5.
Two and a half.
It's fun.
It doesn't
anyway.
Seem like you're just getting started, though, does it?
No.
It probably feel like you're aging.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
saying.
But
I am. I'm just getting started.
He's just getting started with all the T-ball games and baseball games. And
soccer games.
Homework. Teachers, parents, conferences.
We're hopefully going to send Nana and Poppy over.
That's me.
Over double digits. Or into the double digit territory with grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
Nothing's worse than your kids coming home with a bunch of homework because you know your evening is shot.
Yeah.
Duly noted, Ed. I remember those years well.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad to be past them. Although I wasn't a whole lot of help. I was on history and English.
Yeah.
Did you get me into advanced math?
You sent him to Allison?
Or somebody outside the family.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I always told my kids, advanced math to me, and by that I mean beyond adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing, which is really all you need in life, unless you're going to build a bridge. I always told them,
you listening, kids?
Algebra, geometry, trigonometry, those kind of things, those are magic. Okay? So I can't help you with creating magic, all right? All right, Fred, how you doing, brother? Fred Jackson.
I'm doing very well.
You big on advanced math, are you, Fred? Did you do well in
One of the most difficult courses I took in university was calculus. And I had a celebration when that course was over.
Either you're good at it or you're not. There's usually not any in-between with those.
I bypassed physics and calculus. I was able to in high school.
How'd you do that?
I took some other kind of requirement.
Yeah, I kind of liked physics because it came into play when I went through the military flying.
Yeah.
Because it's actual application.
Physics
But I could never find how are you going to apply calculus to anything.
They always told me, Tim, it expands your brain. And I always thought, why would I want to do that?
That's what a math teacher
does. So does bacteria.
Right. Duly noted, Fred. I think you're on to something. Anyway, God bless all you advanced math teachers
out there.
Mm-hmm. And I know we need engineers. And I know
what it's for.
And I know we need medicine and doctors and we need pilots and all those things.
It's not your specialty.
It never was.
Right.
And it wasn't my specialty, and I had a special disdain
for it.
For it, But anyway. All right, Fred, what's on tap today?
What's on tap today? Well, as we sit here in our studio in Washington, D.C., in the House, we have been subjected to a number of speeches this morning because today's the day they are supposed to vote on this Democrat, and let's be careful, it is not an impeachment vote. It is the next step in the Democrat agenda in their bid to try to impeach the president. So we've had a bunch of closed-door meetings with Adam Schiff, or Adam Schifty, as the president notes, where the closed door, the Republicans basically weren't allowed to ask any questions other than to put up their hands, can I go use the washroom? That was about the only thing that they were allowed to talk about. And so today, now, I just listened to Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, saying, this is serious business we're doing today. This ought to be nonpartisan. We're upholding our constitutional obligations here to put the president in check because
up to this point, they've been fair.
Oh, yeah.
With the president. I'm sure Speaker Pelosi reminded them about that.
Okay. This should be a
This isn't personal.
Yeah. She says this should be a nonpartisan thing. Very serious voice. Well, amongst other Republicans, Steve Scalise got up, and this was his response to Nancy Pelosi calling this a very solemn moment. Cut number seven.
If the chair chooses at his whim, they can literally kick out the president's legal counsel. This is unprecedented. It's not only unprecedented, this is Soviet-style rules. Maybe in the Soviet Union, you do things like this, where only you make the rules, where you reject the ability for the person you're accusing to even be in the room, to question what's going on, for anybody else to call witnesses, when only one person has the right to call witnesses. And as we saw just the other day, the chairman was literally directing the witness to not answer certain questions by the Republicans. What kind of fairness is that?
All right, that was Steve Scalise, the House Minority Whip. What he's recalling, what he's referring to there is this eight-page resolution that they're going to be voting on today. So, you know, the Democrats have been trying to sell this with the help of the mainstream media. Now, this is going to be all open. But as Steve Scalise has just told us, the president is not going to allow to have any lawyers representing him in the room. Also, if the Republicans want to call a witness, the Democrat-controlled committee then votes on that. So a Republican proposes bringing in somebody in to talk to. The Democrats say, okay, let's hold a vote whether we're going to allow the Republicans to have this witness come in. And because the Democrats have the majority on that committee, we all know how that's going to go. So is it any wonder why you probably heard a tone of frustration in the voice of Steve Scalise and other Republicans that are getting up?
Go ahead, Ed.
I think what the Republicans ought to do in the Senate is tell Nancy Pelosi, we're going to mirror what you're doing if it comes to us after you impeach the president. In other words, you want to bring witnesses to accuse the president? We'll just hold a vote on whether we allow you to do that. We're going to mirror what you do, everything you do in the House. We're going to follow the same rules in the Senate. Be warned, House Speaker.
Did you think of that by yourself?
I just now thought of that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
There.
That's like doing a calculus problem right there. That was cool.
Better than that.
Fist pump.
Yes, sir.
But that is so true.
Yeah.
You want to play by these, quote, rules? Then we can, too, can play this game.
That's right. Let's all vote on whether the accusations, the witnesses, have a right to come and speak before the Senate.
Walker, this is... Using the word irreparable is a drastic word, but what Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats are doing here, since they announced this impeachment over this phone call, irreparable seems to me the damage. Maybe somebody in the future can bring the two parties to back together in terms of civility. But boy, she fired off the nuke.
Yeah, she is being run by the left-wing mob of the Democrat Party, no doubt. They're the one who's forced this. They were saying impeach Trump before he was even president without even He wasn't even in office to
impeach him because he was elected.
Exactly.
That was a mantra for the Democrats.
So this it's not as if all of a sudden they were fair-minded and then all of a sudden he did something 3 years into his presidency and now we should impeach him like Bill Clinton. He being elected was an impeachable offense for him. But the Democrats, this is really unfair for the American people, not just Republicans, but the American people vote to send representatives to Washington, D.C. so that they can then pass legislation or policies that make our country a better place. And whether you're a Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, that's what they're supposed to go there and do. Well, this is not any of that. What we're doing here is a show, and Republicans do the same thing. When they're in charge, they do shows too. And they don't,
but not to this extent. Do you
they don't do shows that are utterly wrong.
Throwing the president out of
office.
They
do hearings and bombastic stuff just to buy time, so they don't have to do anything. But this should make Democrats and Republicans voters mad because Democrats aren't passing legislation, Republicans aren't passing legislation, President Trump can't sign legislation to get things done, and so this is just a bit. We're paying congressmen and women to go to D.C. and do a reality show Monday through Friday. And if they're going to do
Tuesday
this...
Tuesday through Thursday.
Yes. They don't work on Monday.
That's true. So, those are travel days.
That's what's getting lost in all of this is that they're not even there. They shouldn't even be there to do this kind of stuff.
What's this vote today? I get confused. It's not an impeachment vote.
Well, this is a procedural vote, I believe, right now.
To do what?
To move to the next step.
This will formalize. This will formalize the impeachment process.
But back to what Steve Scalise was talking about right there. If I had heard that from the Democrats, I would be upset still. If I had heard a Democrat leader talking in the way Steve Scalise did about the proceedings that were taking place in secret. With the accused, that is President Trump, and his party, the Republicans, not having any say whatsoever in anything. Now I don't care if that is the rules in the House with respect to impeachment, as I understand it, is whatever they say they are at the time. I mean, it's kind of right?
I guess that's right, because it's not in the Constitution how you're supposed to run impeachment.
Right, so if that is the case, that's fine. But I'm just saying, where's your sense of fairness in all this, and would you want to be treated this way? And maybe your day will come where you will be treated this way, as you've said, where Nancy Pelosi and Adam
Schiff.
Have decided we're not going to let the Republicans have any say in this whatsoever. You know the frustration that builds in you as an individual and me when we feel like there's something we have a right to do and say, and we're told, no, sit down and shut up, and if you say, you know, you have no say in this. You imagine that being said to a major political party.
Right.
Yeah.
And to a president.
That's what Steve Scalise was saying. This is what they did in the Soviet Union. One party rule. That's why he said that we don't do this. You're talking about the changing the rules. You know, and I know Fred's going to be talking about this whistleblower. You remember they changed the rules on how you define a whistleblower. The Democrats in the House. It was, used to be that the rules required that for someone to be considered a whistleblower and therefore have their identity protected and so on and so forth, you can't lose your job, that kind of thing, you had to have firsthand knowledge. And then just before the whistleblower filed his report, the Democrats in the House changed the rules so you didn't have to be firsthand knowledge. You could have secondhand knowledge.
It's just slimy.
And this may be a separate case, but the intelligence community, the CIA, changed the definition also.
Yes.
That's a swamp.
Yeah, right. The bureaucrats in the executive branch that work for the president also changed who qualifies as a whistleblower?
That's a great segue into the report. Sandy Rios talked about this morning.
You're welcome.
Paul Speary, Real Clear Investigations, has the report out this morning on who he believes, and he says there is evidence, that the whistleblower is a man by the name of Eric Cherimella. All right?
This is going to get good for Ed, so our listeners need to pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention to this, because right now, according to the report, guess where he's working today? The CIA. Now, listen to all of these folks as I go. Listen to this as I go through it.
Are we going to put this on our Facebook page?
Yes.
Okay.
Federal documents reveal that the 33-year-old Cherimella, a registered Democrat, held over from the Obama White House, previously worked with former Vice President Joe Biden and former CIA Director John Brennan, who was, of course, everybody knows, a vocal critic of Trump, and who helped initiate the Russian collusion. Now listen to this. Further, Cherimella left his National Security Council posting in the White House West Wing in mid-2017 amid concerns about negative leaks to the media. Remember that story in 2017? It was amazing how everything the president said was getting out to the media.
Right.
This guy, hey, we think we know who he is now. We're going to get rid of him out of the White House. He has since returned to the CIA headquarters in Langley. Cherimella huddled for guidance, reading from the story here, with the staff of House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, including former colleagues also held over from the Obama era, whom Schiff's office had recently recruited from the National Security Council. All right, so just to explain that, this guy, Cherimella, is friends with people from the National Security Council who now are on Adam Schiff's staff. All right? They're all buddies. This is the collusion. Cherimella worked with the Democratic National Committee operative who dug up dirt on the Trump campaign during the 2016 election campaign. And on this story goes.
Yeah, this guy, the whistleblower, whose identity is now being revealed, which I think is good, he's an Obama loyalist.
Yes.
He's a Democrat loyalist.
He worked under Susan Rice,
yes,
Obama's national security advisor. If this is the guy,
yeah,
this is something Sandy is talking about. This is Real Clear Investigations. This Paul Speary, he's saying everyone in D.C. knows who this guy is.
The media knows who he is.
The media knows who it is. It's one of those things that's an open secret.
Yeah.
And so this, we'll find out, I guess, if this is the guy. And if it is.
And this same fella was booted from the White House and sent back to Langley, Virginia, to the CIA headquarters. Why? Because he was leaking. He was assigned to the White House as a CIA analyst to listen to calls, do transcripts, push paperwork. And the White House in 2017 basically said, this guy's a leaker, so send him back to CIA headquarters.
Yep.
I tell you what. Wow. So what you're saying, the bottom line in all this is that the so-called whistleblower who, again, I just sort of chuckle in that we have the whole transcript from the crime, in quotes, that the president's released, and we're doing investigations on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, this guy here, you're saying, is politically motivated.
Yeah.
That's the point, is there are so many connections he has. If, in fact, as Ed says, this is the guy, this guy is so connected with the Democrat Party that he would be politically motivated to undermine President Trump.
Yes.
And that's what's not being told.
That's right.
To the American people right now on a large scale.
Yes.
Which should be.
Yes.
You should, as they say in full disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
there's motivation for why Adam Schiff has worked so hard. Remember the other day there was one of these people invited in to testify. And when the Republicans were starting to ask some questions, and Adam Schiff told the individual, don't answer that question, because the questions the Republicans were asking would lead one to the conclusion on who the whistleblower is. Adam Schiff says, to the person that. So Adam Schiff is acting as the lawyer for the people invited in, plus the chairman of this committee.
Yeah, it's despicable.
Well, I think, let me just say this. I don't have a problem. If the law protects whistleblowers, I don't have a problem with protecting their identity, mm-hmm. as long as both political parties get to know who the guy is, or yes. the man or the woman. Mm-hmm. So to me, it is not right if they have to meet in closed door session or whatever, or if they have to somehow meet, then I think that's okay. But I don't like the idea of whistleblowers being used, keeping their identity secret, when it's basically a political accusation.
And nobody can cross-examine
them. Nobody can cross-examine. Right. If you want to whistle, if you're a whistleblower and you say this this nuclear power plant is dumping chemicals and plutonium right. Into the river and the water supply, to me that's what a whistleblower mm-hmm. is for, and you protect their identity, mm-hmm. but you don't protect identities for accusations like this when it's
and
political.
Are you saying here that this fellow was a secondhand?
Well,
yes.
Or was he firsthand?
Oh, no, he was a secondhand. He was not on the call or in the room.
Right.
No. Oh, my goodness.
That's why he was sent back to Langley, Virginia,
right.
because of stuff like
right.
this.
So he's not supposed to fall under the legal definition of whistleblower.
Not until
the Democrats changed it just prior to him being this information coming out. Is that what you're saying?
That's my understanding is the forms that the whistleblower uses and uploads
yes.
was changed. Just before
That's
he
correct.
Uploaded.
Well, and there right. was one more point. This takes us back yeah. a couple of weeks. Uh-huh. Is that Adam Schiff was asked whether he had direct contact
right.
with the whistleblower.
Yes.
And he said, oh, no. Oh,
right.
no. But it turns out this whistleblower has friends who work for Adam Schiff. And they did talk about all of this before it became public.
Listen, you cannot have a whistleblower law in Washington, D.C., that protects people and their identity when they're making politically charged accusations. You
right.
just can't do it.
Right.
That's not what a whistleblower is, because you this is going to, as to your point, Tim, this is going to destroy,
right.
if it can be destroyed any worse than it is now, it's going to destroy
right.
politics in D.C.
Yeah.
Because we're all, both sides are going to pull whistleblowers and say, we can't tell you who it is. We're going to have to hide his or her identity.
Ridiculous.
But this person is saying that President Obama did X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big mistake here to me was made by Nancy Pelosi when she decided to open up the silo
mm-hmm.
and let the nukes fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the impeachment. I think she had been wise. I disagree with her on almost everything, but she's an astute politician. I think most people agree.
Right.
And I up to the point of going down this impeachment road, I think she had fended off those far left voices in her party, the mob mentality, the Madonna, I want to bomb the White House
right.
mentality. And to at least we're going to fight the president, we're going to resist. But we're not using nuclear weapons. We're not using
right.
chemical weapons to win this war.
Right.
Well, now they've resorted to that, and you can't turn back from this. And if there's going to be any return to decorum and civility for the sake of our country, I think it's going to have to be with somebody other than Nancy Pelosi. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's when she leaves, maybe somebody else.
The far left are made up of revolutionaries. And they don't want civility.
Well,
the AOC and that group, they don't want civility.
I think
they want revolution.
I think the vast majority of American people do.
Yeah.
Want civility.
Yes.
70, 80, 90%. But you're right. That crowd right there, the resistance crowd.
Right.
They're running the party now. They're
yeah.
running the Dems.
All right. We will return momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree. kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's What's the question, Ed? How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues, Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday. Woo.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of Champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
A taco truck in Buffalo, New York is at the center of a controversy after they served workers at a federal detention center for illegal aliens. Supporters of illegals took great offense, demanded to know why the Lloyd taco truck was feeding ICE workers. Now, the correct response would have been to explain that as a private taco business, they serve everyone regardless of political affiliation. But that's not what they did. Instead, Lloyd's taco truck apologized and they vowed to never again serve ICE workers. So basically, the taco truck is going to discriminate against law-abiding American citizens trying to secure our borders. It's pathetic pandering. Instead of serving the brave men and women of ICE, Lloyd's taco truck ran for the border. The lesson here is to never give in to the cancel culture mob. Otherwise, you may end up with a bad case of indigestion. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed, Walker, and Fred. Surely you like one of us. You know, hang with us there between the four of us. Jan Markell is going to join us momentarily. Alex McFarland will be with us in just a few minutes as well on the show. We've got questions for them. But to follow up on our conversation we were having prior to the break, we were talking about the breakdown in civility in Washington, D.C., especially in the House of Representatives. pardon me. And it's toxic. With all capital letters.
Absolutely.
Right now. And I, as I said, I know both sides can say, well, you said this and you did this, and we can go back and forth with that, and that's true. But when the leader of the House of Representatives, the Democrat Nancy Pelosi, decided to unleash the chemical weapons, I use that obviously metaphorically, on the Republicans. You know, when you have a war, even in warfare, there are rules, right? That you're supposed to abide by. Mm-hmm. The UN rules, right. You know, you can't use chemical weapons on people. On
Geneva
armies.
Convention, all those things, yeah.
There's such a thing as fighting unfairly with conventional warfare. So, using chemical weapons is a war crime.
Right.
That's the metaphor I'm using here, if I had to explain myself. So that's what Nancy Pelosi has done to the Republicans. You got an example of the...
Yeah, and Nancy Pelosi was talking about, you know, we all have to come together and work together, you know, We're here for the American people. Well, here's an example of what you guys were just talking about, the toxic environment being created by the Democrats. Yesterday, the acting director of the Citizenship and Immigration Services, Ken Cuccinelli, appeared before a Democrat committee on that subject matter. And here's how he was treated by Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I want you to have a listen to this. It's cut number 8, Brent. So what
you and Mr. Trump don't want anyone who looks or talks differently than Caucasian Americans to be allowed into this country.
That's false.
I'm sorry. Please don't interrupt me, and I'd like the time to add
that's
it back.
That's defamatory.
Excuse me. There's nothing defamatory about it. You have demonstrated that you will pursue this heinous white supremacist ideology at all costs.
After declaring that I am not a white supremacist, as you alluded.
You have had white supremacist
nor is the
policy.
President.
Facts matter.
Yes, they do. Yes,
right.
They do. Truth
Which is why
matters.
I'm stating them here today.
Yes, no,
please
you
answer the
certainly
question.
Are not.
Please answer the question. How many children?
Certainly cloaked in legislative
how many
privilege,
children
but that
may stop
means you can get away
reclaiming
with not
my
telling
time.
The truth.
she's just that's despicable. Words just begin to
He's
fail you.
He's supposed to sit there and take that?
Yeah. I don't know what the rules are, but I would just say, Congresswoman, if you defame me again, I'm leaving because you work right. for the American people, and I'm not taking this. You're a liar.
You're hurling personal insults.
Yeah,
is what she's doing.
Yeah, but this has been going. You know, the Kavanaugh hearings were right. this way.
No. I'm glad she did that. I'm glad she did that because
this is how they really are.
Yeah, this is who the Democrat Party is are today. They believe that Republicans are white supremacists
mm-hmm.
and akin to, if not equal to, Nazis.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So that's why she's going after him like that. You and President Trump don't believe in letting anybody in here who are non-white.
Who doesn't look like you and who isn't white, right?
Yeah, Caucasian.
Can we play that again?
Yeah, play that again. Listen to this. This is what she throws it. Go ahead, play it again.
You and Mr. Trump don't want anyone who looks or talks differently than Caucasian Americans to be allowed into this country.
Right, that's false.
Wait. I'm sorry.
First of all, that's a pretty. How do Caucasians talk?
I guess she's talking about your native language.
You listen to President Trump talk, and you listen to me talk.
I think
English.
Believe me, I'm not trying to defend her.
Okay.
She's talking about those English. Who speak English. You only want white English speaking people here, not brown, Spanish.
Well, she called him a white supremacist, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, I'm not surprised about this because this is the Democrats. No integrity, no decency. But that they have, there's people in our country that will vote for that.
Yeah,
there's people.
Half the country will.
There's a majority in our country, or at least in certain states and districts, that go, "Yeah, get them.
Right.
Yeah, that's right, Kamala."
Racist. Yeah.
I just wonder. We got our guest here standing by, but I just wonder what percentage of Democrat voters subscribe to that.
Enough to vote for her as senator.
Yeah. But I don't know. I do think you're right because I worry about that because on the immigration question, if half the country's for open borders, then we're in trouble. And the Democrat Party is for open borders, and if half the country votes for them, they allow for open borders. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. How do you dial it back if you're the Republicans in defending yourself when you go before a committee? I know I interrupted myself right there. I realized I did that, but I just thought about that. How do you sit there and take that kind of stuff? Where do you go with a conversation? Okay, I'd like to go over the statistics from our department. If you would bear with me as a white supremacist, I'm going to try to go down through here.
That's an excellent point because what is Ken Cuccinelli? What this kind of thing does is Ken Cuccinelli, he handled himself well, but at some point, Ken Cuccinelli or, a long list of Republicans is going to say, you know what, Congresswoman, you know what you can do? And how is that going to improve? How is that going to improve the conversation?
And then here's what the Democrats are going to say. Well, we have decorum here in the House.
Exactly.
And
they're going to pound the gavel.
Yeah, and get things back in order.
And
so
you
they
know
keep
what they're going to say? They're going to say, you are not allowed to talk to a congresswoman that way.
Yeah.
And then what's Ken Cuccinelli going to say? Oh, yeah? And that's going to go where?
Right.
Yeah. All right. So our guest is with us.
Jan Markell.
Yeah.
Jan Markell. Understanding the Times. Jan, how are you this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you for having me, Fred and Tim.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Having fun with our members of Congress.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it sad? It's just tragic.
It absolutely is. I mean, and we're talking about the toxic nature that's going on there. But, Jan, I think there's a spiritual aspect to all of this, too.
Oh, I think there absolutely is. I do know that the Evangelical Advisory Board met with the president, I believe it was Tuesday. My friend Michelle Bachman was present, and they just prayed for him, and they tried to encourage him. And thank God that he does have sanity surrounding him, and he's got good people. He's got Mike Pence. He's got Mike Pompeo to encourage and even encourage him spiritually. I mean, I don't think we know where the president is spiritually. But he's certainly getting the spiritual truth all around him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to ask you a broad general question. What is the focus of Olive Tree Ministries right now?
Well, it's to help people understand the times and become watchmen on the wall. And I'm finding that so many Christians are tuned out. Some of them are tuned out intentionally because the news of the day is so troubling, and others thankfully tap into programs like yours and mine and some very informative programming that's happening, Christian radio and online, and they're staying tuned in. But I would like to see the entire church become aware of our times and talking to other people about our times, and the fact that time is running out for some people. They need to get right with God. They need to find the Lord. And this weekend, I didn't intend on saying this, but it ties in with your question, Tim. I mean, let's just say for discussion here, the rapture of the church takes place this week. We need to be getting people prepared for the days in which we live, which are the end of the end times. And I'm going to be talking this weekend about those who are left behind. Many of your listeners read the Left Behind books by Tim LaHaye back in the 90s, early 2000s, and there will be millions left behind. What are they going to be going through? And we've come up with a product to help equip listeners to give this product to those who could be left behind, loved ones who just are refusing to accept the gospel, and that this is a handy tool that we can provide for them.
I've never heard that angle. Do you give that away for Christmas?
You can. I think it certainly would prompt some interesting Christmas discussion.
Yeah.
Family discussion, yeah.
You had one question you wanted to ask Jan about, because Jan follows closely what's going on in Israel.
In Israel in particular. Jan, these stories come and go on a regular basis. They often don't make headlines, but here's one that caught my attention this morning. Palestinian woman shot trying to stab Israeli troops.
Yeah.
And in that story it says, Palestinians have killed over 60 Israelis in stabbings, shootings, and car ramming attacks since 2015. Jan, these are the people that most of the world expects Israel to be friends with. And these people are out to kill Israelis.
I think, your sentence there says it all. Fred, and I've used that illustration. These are the people that they're supposed to have a peace treaty with and live in peace and security side by side. You can't do that with the Islamic, at least not the Islamic more terrorist mind. You can't do that. And the perfect illustration that you've cited, Palestinians have killed over 60 Israelis, stabbing, shootings, and car rammings in the last 4 years, and they've tried many, many more than that. They just haven't been successful. This is a very troubled part of the world, and who's the bastion of sanity in a region of insanity? Little Israel, the size of New Jersey, and yet so many in the world and the church are against her. So we try to speak up for Israel as often as we can here at this ministry. And I think, I mean, we're just trying to educate believers as to the importance of the fact that, look, Jesus is Jewish, our Bible is from the Jews, salvation is from the Jews, Christianity is a very Jewish experience, and we just want Christians to better understand that and appreciate the fact that the Jewish people are a part of that olive tree that we both share.
Amen. Amen.
But Jan, who's on this weekend on your show?
Brigitte Gabrielle, and then we're also going to talk for half the program about life after the rapture of the church. So we got two topics this weekend. I think it'll be of real interest. And thank you guys for having me. It's a real honor to do so.
Thanks, Jan. God bless you.
All right. Goodbye now.
Jan Markell joining us from Minnesota. Frosty, I'm sure Frosty, Minnesota.
I bet it's cold up there now because the cold front's coming through.
I know. You're on to something, Walker. It's cold in Minnesota.
Look, state the obvious, can't go wrong.
I know. you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, our good friend Dr. Alex McFarland joins us now. We don't know where Alex is. He's like Dora the Explorer, traveling the world. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing great, guys. It's great to be with you.
Sound like you're in North Carolina today.
North Carolina, that's right. You know, talking about being cold in Minnesota, 2 days ago I was coming out of Colorado, and I'm on an airplane at 6 a.m, and we were late taking off because the pilot comes on. I've never had this happen. He said, it's too cold for the engines to start.
What?
And I mean, it was cold. It was cold. And we taxied out. The little tow motor pulled us away from the building. He said, folks, I'm sorry. We've got to wait a couple of hours. It's too cold. We can't get the jet engines to crank. It's so cold. We got to wait till it warms up. And I thought, wow, it's not even November yet, you know?
Well, I'm glad you weren't at 30,000 feet.
Right.
And the pilot comes on and says,
I don't know. We can't get these things to work.
Somebody, get a can of starter fluid.
No, I've never heard of that either.
Obviously, you've heard of defrosting the de-icing the planes. So you see that all the time in the winter in airports up north. But
can't start the engines?
Too cold to start the motor.
Isn't that amazing?
It sounds like an excuse for something.
Yeah, the pilot stayed out late.
Yeah.
You know, didn't want to.
Let's just tell the folks that it's too cold.
Start,
we can't crank the engine.
Too cold.
They'll believe it.
Well, anyway, that's crazy. I never heard that. You've flown for decades. You fly all the time. Have you ever heard that one before?
I've not heard that one. I've heard a lot of crazy things, but you know, that's one of the biggest challenges of traveling like an evangelist and apologetic speaker, the airlines, because you just don't know if you're going to make your speaking slot on time or not.
Talk about Reformation Day.
This is exciting. Well, October 31, 1517, we are here today because Martin Luther went to the church in Wittenberg, Germany, and very famously nailed on the door the 95 Theses, which were really 95 grievances against the church at that time. And the Protestant, in other words, we protest. The church has gone awry, and we need to recover what the true gospel is. And there were a number of grievances. One was about the sale of indulgences, you know, that, hey, I'm going to have a big rowdy weekend, so let me in advance pay some money for the sins I'm about to commit. And of course, that's not how we get right with God. But we're here today because of the Reformation, which was really ignited on October 31, 1517.
Not everybody's here today. I have Catholic friends. They would be here anyway, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Huh?
Well,
talking about the evangelical church is where we are right now.
Yeah.
I know. I was trying to be a smarty.
do you know what? Add
to the conversation. This is a very significant, in all seriousness, this is a very significant day.
It is.
To remember because of what Alex is talking about here, and that is the corruption that was inside the Catholic Church at the time. And corruption can appear in the Protestant church and has before as well. But the overarching point was here that you can't buy your salvation.
That's right.
Right.
And Jesus bought it.
And nobody can, except Christ, obviously, can get you into heaven, so to speak.
Exactly.
Well, not so to speak, in reality. Right, Alex?
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. You know, doing apologetics and Christian worldview, the Lord's opened many doors for me, and I give God the glory. About 10 years ago, a Catholic church in North Carolina had me in twice to do a worldview weekend. And this particular Catholic priest called me, and he hears the show. He listens to AFR, and we had lunch. And I said, listen, I'm very honored. Will I come and do an apologetics weekend? Absolutely. And he said, listen, I know you're a Baptist preacher, and you're our guest, and you give, you know, the gospel, and you do whatever you want to do. You're our guest. But here's the thing, and I nearly fell out of my chair. We were sitting at a restaurant in Greensboro, and this Roman Catholic priest, he looked at me. He said, you know, many of us think the reformers were right. And, you know, coming from a Roman Catholic priest, that was huge. I mean, to believe that Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and Menno Simons and a lot of the reformers were right. Now, I'll tell you, with, you know, gays, atheists, and Muslims, and the abandonment of morality, and so many things that are threatening the world right now and the souls of people, all people who truly believe in Jesus, we need each other. We really do. And it may be that the Spirit of God really does call the body of Christ in all quarters to the true gospel that Jesus alone paid for our sins on the cross. We don't go through a man. We go straight to the Son of God. And so we need a great worldwide revival. I was listening to Jan just now, and I agree with her. I think we are in the last of the last days. But before the rapture, I think there's going to be a great revival, and may God grant that our lives contribute to that.
All right. What are you and Brother Bert talking about this afternoon on Exploring the Word?
Romans chapter 4. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him righteousness. And isn't it just very appropriate on Reformation Day that we would land in Romans 4?
And when are you having your next Truth for a New Generation conference?
Oh, thanks for asking. November 15, 16. Folks, we're just 2 weeks away, and we're going to be in Cincinnati, Ohio. Abe Hamilton, Erwin Lutzer, Josh McDowell, former homosexual activist Ann Paulk, former Muslim Kamal Soleimani. It's going to be amazing. And folks, please, at a time when we need to be equipped to defend the faith, come see us in Cincinnati, November 15, 16, for Truth for a New Generation.
Now, how do you register for that?
Just go to my website, alexmcfarland.com, okay. Or you can call Landmark Church right there in Cincinnati, but alexmcfarland.com.
Now, Ed and Fred and me, we were considering coming if you would host a Truth for an Old Generation.
Listen, Truth for Every Generation. We'll do it.
Okay, because a new generation, you know. All right, Alex, take care, my friend.
Hey, God bless you guys. God bless America. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Alex McFarland here on American Family Radio. Am I hitting middle age? Is that what I am now?
You're past middle age, brother.
I'm 56.
Are you planning think on living to 112?
112. And probably don't want to.
No.
It is funny how people hit, quote, middle age when they're in their mid-50s. Alex McFarland does a wonderful job at these conferences. You ought to go to one, folks. Truth for a New Generation. Check it out. And I know everybody who goes to his conferences, they're basically apologetic.
Right.
Apologetics conferences and worldview. They just are blown away by the quality and the content of anything Alex, you know, plans is going to be top-notch. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We failed to mention at the first of the program that you can watch this show on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube. We also post the stories that we discuss on there. So Brent Creeley, our producer, he posts the stories that we discuss on our Facebook page so that you can have access to the original source of our conversation. Next story, Fred.
New Jersey Democrat Senator Cory Booker, who would like to be the next president of the United States.
Ain't going to happen.
He's not doing too well in the polls, and nobody wants to give him money. One of the reasons may be is that he is for severe gun control. Like, he has a gun control or gun buyback program. And he appeared on The View in the last couple of days. And he was asked by Meghan McCain, how you going to do this? All right, so here's a little bit of that. It's cut number three.
But this is a really important issue. What we say about other people says more about us than it does about
them. Okay, what about the gun buybacks?
And I said, this is a moment where you need a revival of civic grace.
With all due respect, the gun buybacks.
Yeah, we need a revival of civic
grace.
The gun
buybacks.
Which is directly related to gun buybacks.
Mm-hmm.
These are not incongruent.
Just tell me semantically how you're going to get my brother's gun back.
What did
he never
say?
Did answer the question.
Right.
He didn't answer. Dana Lesh was on Fox and Friends this morning talking about this exchange. This is what she had to say. Cut four.
A lot of us aren't going to give up our lawfully owned firearms. I would love to hear how Cory Booker really has a practical way for going out and confiscating everybody's guns. He never actually answered Megan's question either. Mm-hmm. And then he tried to say that we already did that, I guess talking about confiscation as it relates to machine guns. No, we didn't. We didn't ban machine guns, and nobody went around confiscating machine guns either.
Well, that's just another reflection. One of those issues that's big on the Democrat agenda. And as I say, it's not a winner for Cory Booker right
now. What he would like to do, if I understand it correctly, is pass a law, a mm-hmm. federal law,
mm-hmm.
making it it's not a voluntary.
It's mandatory.
Right.
Yes.
It's not a voluntary, okay,
if you want to.
If you want to, bring your gun up here and we'll give you $100, okay,
yeah.
to compensate you for it. No, it's the federal law compelling you to bring in your guns, and then the government gives you cash.
And if you don't,
for clunkers,
you're a lawbreaker. And whatever
right.
happens,
yes. and what happens there, yes. you're fined right. or imprisoned. So there right. goes your Second Amendment.
Yeah, and I really think that some of the Democrats would not even go to Congress for that. They'll just write an executive order. Now it would likely get struck down.
Yeah.
But they're not. Democrats are not very privy, and they don't like the legislative process. It's too cumbersome, takes too long. That's why Obama said,
"I've changing the Constitution.
I've got my pen and my phone."
Yeah, how about changing the Constitution? You're gonna have to get rid of the Second Amendment.
Well, they just undermine it.
I'm gonna make a bold statement here, and that's what we do on this show, right? I'm gonna make a bold statement.
Yeah, you make a bold statement.
My belief is that the increasingly far left Democratic Party. Not all of them, but the ones who are now running the show, I don't even think they like the Constitution.
No.
I'll just tell you that. Because properly understood, the Constitution, per the beliefs and principles of the founding generation, the Constitution was meant to restrict government power.
Yeah.
What Democrats want is to concentrate power in the federal government. That's why people like Cory Booker don't like the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. And that's why millennials who are increasingly moving left don't like the First Amendment. And that's why these judges don't like religious liberty per the First Amendment, because the 10 First Amendments, the Bill of Rights, were added to the original Constitution to restrict federal power. Otherwise, most of the states wouldn't have signed on to it. I don't believe the Democratic Party, by and large, if they were absolutely honest, sitting at a dinner amongst other Democrats, would say, we need to scrap the Constitution and move on to something else. That's my belief.
Which is why Barack Obama, when he was president, nominated judges.
Yes.
Who believe in a fluid.
Yes, right. the judges decide. Document. Who cares what the Constitution says?
Yeah.
We'll decide.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that is, and they're out in the open with this now. And look at the impact it's having on millennials. We talked about this the other day. You know, the younger generation they're buying into socialism,
right?
Communism. Get rid of the First Amendment because we want to stop hate speech.
Yes.
Get rid of the Second Amendment because we need to end gun violence.
Get rid of religious liberty because you religious people are a bunch of bigots.
Yeah. Or white supremacists like Ken Cartinelli.
Yeah.
There. All right, Fred, thank you for all this happy news, Fred.
You're welcome. I'll be
God
back
bless
again.
You, brother.
Happy, happy, happy.
You're the encourager. Okay? We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.